God will answer prayer.
God's gonna answer your prayer. Keep on believing.
you never, don't you never, though you be heavy laden, sometimes you may be burdened, you might be burdened down.
Sometimes we just need to remember that God still loves us. We're not all that we're supposed to be, but God still loves us. We fall short sometimes, but God still loves us. We're hard-headed sometimes, but God still loves us. And when we call on His name, because we're covered, now this is for y'all who saved, because we're covered in the blood of Jesus, the Bible says that makes us the righteous. And He said that his ear is open to hear the prayers of the righteous. So I don't care what's going on in your life, if you're saved and you've got the blood of Jesus covering you, you can pray with expectation. And always remember, God does love you, and He answers prayer. See, he died for us while we were yet in sin. See, I hadn't got right yet, and Jesus died for me. I hadn't put off all my childish ways yet, and Jesus died for me. I hadn't gotten rid of my sometimes ugly attitude and disposition, and Jesus died for me. I hadn't given up my selfish ways, and Jesus still died for me. So it ain't about what I did, it's about what He did for me. No matter what it is that you may be going through in your life right now, and even if you know you wrong, even if you're unsaved, God still loves you. And if you say, Lord, I'm wrong, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, He will forgive you, and He'll answer your prayer. Let's give God some glory. And thank God for this choir, musicians and director, singing a song that's so true. God answers prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we're so glad that You answer prayer. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is prayer is all we really have. Yes. Lord God, whatever strength we think we have is nothing. Whatever intelligence we think we have is really nothing. Whatever influence we think we have is really nothing. It's nothing, Lord, if You're not in it. It's nothing, Lord, if You're not a part of it. It's nothing, Lord, if You don't approve it. So, Lord God, let us always be mindful that we want to be in the center of Your will for our lives. And if we're there, that's the best place, the safest place that we can be. And we know, Lord, that You will always do what's right and what's best. That You get the glory, that we get the benefit, and that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ushers, you may be seated. God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of Jehovah God, to the officers of Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church, to the members of Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church, and to visiting friends. And somebody had a conversation with some preachers this past week, and I was convicted. You know, and Pastor started this even before he left us. I want to get more in the habit, at least in my own mind, of thinking of as disciples of the Roanoke-Salem Missionary Baptist Church, because we're all disciples of Jesus Christ, but that's just within me, and I'm going to get better at it. But it's so good to see you this morning, and as somebody said to me, it's so good to be seen, and thank God for that another day. To my sisters in Christ, we pray for, we're glad that you all are here, and thank you for your support. I pray that Brother Freeman is well this morning, and also Reverend Daryl Mitchell. So, going back to January, I asked the church family if we would, that we would read the book of Proverbs for the first month of the year, and many of you all did. Many of you all did. Thank you for that. And I said that I would probably preach at least a few sermons from Proverbs. So I preached a sermon on fourth Sunday in January, Choose Your Words Wisely. That dealt with what Proverbs has to say about what we speak. And then fourth Sunday in February, I preached the sermon, Got Plans, Need God. And that had to do with what Proverbs has to say about how we think. You know, it's okay to make plans, but always remember, keep God first. Because if God doesn't allow it, it ain't going to happen. You can, you not only can you plan, you can have all the resources you need to carry your plans out. Amen. But God may say, no, you're not going to get to do that now because you didn't ask me first. So he may not say never, but he may say, no, I'm going to make you wait about 30 days. I'm going to make you wait about 6 months, and then you come back and try it again. You make sure I'm okay with it first. But we are to keep God first in all the plans we make, because if we're not in his will, we know it's not going to work out. But if we're in his will, it will succeed. Amen? So finally, this fourth Sunday, Derek, I said fourth Sunday in February, you might remember me saying this, that I didn't know if two sermons made a series or not, but just in case two don't, I got three. So this is my, I think this is the second or the third sermon series I've preached since I've been pastor. I know I've preached two. So when we get to three, we're going to put them on the internet, and I'll split the proceeds with the church 70-30. I'll take the third. Okay, all right, okay, 75-25. I'll take the 25. The church can have the 75. But this is the wisdom series is what I call this. This is the wisdom series, and this is sermon number 3 from the wisdom series. Today we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. And as you're turning, I'm just going to say to the Lord Jesus that I ask you, Lord, to use me now to preach and teach your word with clarity and conviction for your glory, and that our lives will be enriched to be more desirous to be like you and live for you, because we are your light in this dark and dying world. Amen. Amen. We do know that, right? We are God's light. That doesn't mean we have to be perfect at all. He doesn't expect that. But that does mean that we should want to be as much like him in how we present ourselves and how we engage with people as we possibly can. Because somebody may get saved by you. Your life and your friendship may be the difference in somebody getting saved or not. I don't know if sometimes we really think about that, and that that's a heavy responsibility, but that's okay. The Lord is with us. But even if it's one person, the Bible says that heaven rejoices when even one soul gets saved. So it's not about I got 100 and you got 5. It's about you lived in such a way while you were on this side of eternity that somebody saw Christ in you. Amen. And gave their life to him too. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. I'm going to read this from the New International Version. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Verse 26, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Verse 27, do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Church family, just for a few minutes, let us reason together from this thought, walking in wisdom. Walking in wisdom. I want to challenge us in this message to think about what we do. Think about how we conduct ourselves each day based on the Proverbs. Now, let me say this real quickly. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We know that. So even on my day that I don't feel spiritual, even when I don't feel holy, unless I'm in willful, intentional sin against the Lord, the Holy Spirit's presence is still dwelling in me. And because of that, those nine fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those different fruit of the Holy Spirit are part of all of us. Now, we don't always manifest them all at the same time. But as I've said before, there should be some of that going on in all of us all the time. Should be some of that going on in all of us all the time. May not have them all going on at the same time. But all that should be part of who we are now that we're in Christ. But God gave Solomon, King Solomon, these proverbs. Webster defines a proverb as a concise saying. But we also know that proverbs are wise sayings. And the Bible says that because God was so pleased with Solomon after he made him the king, that he made Solomon the wisest man that ever lived. And Solomon wrote these proverbs for his son. He wanted his son to know that having wisdom and understanding were necessary to be successful in every area of our life. And it still holds true today. Having wisdom and understanding. I didn't say having intelligence and education. Yes, it's good to get education, get all the education you can. But there are a whole lot of folk, you've known them in your lifetime and I've known them in mine. They may not have anything more than a elementary level, middle school level education. Got more sense than folk that got college PhDs. Got more common sense. More importantly, those who are in Christ have more godly wisdom. Godly wisdom will take you a long way. Wisdom and understanding. And you need that to be successful in every area of your life. Solomon intended for these proverbs, these wise sayings, to teach his son to be self-disciplined and for his son to know what is right and what is fair. May I suggest that our current world would be a much more better place if most people, just most people, live by the proverbs of Solomon. My prayer is that we'll all be stirred up today to begin or to continue to walk in wisdom. Solomon wrote the proverbs that address almost every area of human life. And you go read them for yourself. There's any area of life that you can think about, there's something about it in the proverbs. But I've already said that my focus today is on our conduct, our behavior, the way we act, the things we do from day to day. So I've divided some of these proverbs on behavior. I've divided them up into three broad categories. First category I'm going to talk about is our personal conduct. Second category I'm going to talk about is how we treat other people. And then the third category I'm going to talk about real briefly is just general Christian conduct. Let me start with personal conduct. Christians should always examine ourselves first. Can I say that again? We should always examine ourselves first to make sure we're in right standing with God. It's easy to be critical of other folk. It's just human nature. I'm not saying it'll make you a bad person. That'll make you ungodly. But it's human nature to see the fault in other folk but not see anything in ourselves. And sometimes the thing that we criticize other folk about the most is one of our greatest faults. The Bible even says, and Jesus himself, get the log, get the 2x4 out of my own eye before I tell you about that little speck in the corner of yours. Yeah, I got a 2x4 covering me. I can't see it all, but I can criticize you. Amen. So Christians should always examine ourselves first, talking about our personal conduct, to make sure we're in right standing with God. Let me share a few proverbs that deal with our personal conduct. And let me give you as a foundational scripture for that. Proverbs 12:2. It says, a good man Don't get hung up on the word man. A good person obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty or a wicked person. So here are a few proverbs that talk about our personal conduct. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but humility comes from wisdom. Pride leads to disgrace. False pride, being arrogant. Nothing wrong at all with being confident in yourself and what God has gifted you to do. But don't you ever get to the point where you think it's you that's got it going on. Amen. And don't you ever get to the point where you got the nerve to look at somebody else who may not be gifted like you do and you want to critique them. Now, if somebody comes to you and asks you your opinion, you can share your opinion because you may be recognized as a learned expert in that particular area. But you know, it's just like we sit down sometimes and we watch stuff on TV and we critique everything going on. We go to a service and we critique who's saying this and who's doing that. Well, who left me to be the judge? Who put me in charge of anybody and what they doing? Amen. And sometimes folk do the best they can with what they know. See, that's where humility and the Holy Spirit will come in. You might say, well, where I'm from or in my mind or somebody taught me to do it differently, but that don't mean that's the only way to do it. And folk generally, I believe, try to do the best they can with what they know. So don't be so quick to judge. When pride comes, comes disgrace. But humility comes from wisdom. Proverbs 16 and 32, talking about our personal conduct. Better is a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who rules the city. And again, please don't get hung up on these masculine nouns and pronouns and all that are being used here. Better is someone who's patient than a warrior, than somebody who's trained to fight and ready to fight. Okay? And then better is a person who controls his or her temper than one who rules the city. Why is that? Because if you can't control your temper, you're going to mess a whole bunch of stuff up. You're going to tear a whole bunch of stuff up. First thing you're going to tear up are relationships. If you cannot control your temper, you're going to tear up some relationships. And you're going to probably tear up some relationships that may really mean something to you. Because see, in a moment in time, you'll get mad, or I'll get mad and say something that I really don't mean long term, but I can't take it back. And if the other person doesn't have enough Christ in him or her to be willing to take a deep breath and say, well, yeah, you said it, it hurt my feelings, but I still love you and I forgive you, you got a problem. Because now you got a torn up relationship simply because you didn't take a deep breath before you decided to speak. Let me talk to the millennials. You didn't take a deep breath before you decided to push sin on your smartphone, on your computer, that response that you want to give somebody, that post you want to put up there in response to something somebody put on Facebook, and you know, I'm going to tell them. Yeah, you got to control your temper. Proverbs 17 and 5, the person that mocks the poor shows contempt for God. Wow. The person that mocks the poor shows contempt for God. I don't even know how you do this, but when you don't have any compassion for, and in fact, you have disdain for poor folks, and I don't mean just the poor folks on the other side of the world, somewhere in a third world country, right in our community, because everybody doesn't have the same resources. And when you disdain, when you look down your nose on folks that are poor, when we're talking about resource poor now, that says you show contempt for God. And I can tell you, thank you, Holy Spirit. He told me just then, here's why it's contempt. Because you don't recognize that what you got ain't yours either. Amen. What you got ain't yours. And God can take it away. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Let me finish that. 17:5. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for God. Listen, whoever is happy over disaster will not go unpunished. You hear that? Whoever is happy over, so not just natural disasters, because I don't think, I don't want to believe anybody sitting in this sanctuary today would hear about a disaster somewhere and be happy over it. But this is talking about when people that you don't like anyway, one, and something happened to them, and you be like, I knew it was going to happen. No better for him. That's what should have happened. I'm glad it happened to him. I ain't like him no way. Bible says don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you not willing to help them or pray for them, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Don't be happy when something bad, some calamity happens to somebody, even if it's somebody you don't like. Because it says whoever is happy over a disaster will not go unpunished. God is going to get you. God is going to get you for being happy that something bad happened to somebody else. I can't say it any simpler than that. Let me keep rolling. Proverbs 17:13, still talking about personal conduct. If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. Some of us got some jacked up lives right now just because we got evil in our thoughts. We have evil. Evil won't leave our house. Why? Because of how we think about some folk. How we talk about some folk. How we have gone our way to try to lay traps for. And people that have been good to you now. This is what this says. You go look and see if don't Proverbs 17:13 say this. You don't have to take my word for it. Matter of fact, I pray that you won't. If a person pays back evil for good, evil will never leave the house of the person that has paid back evil for good. Amen. We're still talking about walking in wisdom and specifically personal conduct, how we should live one day at a time. Let's go on now to talk about number two, the broad category, how we should treat other people. Whether they're saved or unsaved, this is how Christians should treat other people. Let me give you as a foundational scripture for this, Psalm 15:1-3. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Here's the answer. The person who can live in the Lord's sanctuary and the person that can walk on the Lord's holy hill is the person whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his or her heart and has no slander on that person's tongue. The one who does his neighbor no wrong, nor cast slur on his fellow man. Do people make us mad? Yeah, they make us mad. Do people do us wrong? Yeah, they do us wrong. Do people get on our nerves? Yeah, they get on our nerves. Do people mistreat us? Yeah, they do. And God is not saying we can't react to that because we're human. But God is telling us to be careful and thoughtful about how we react. See, here's what I love about God. God will accept me in a moment in time having a bad moment. He'll accept me having a bad period of time. But the Holy Spirit in me will be telling me all the time, you need to make this right. You need to come back and say, forgive me, Lord. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And God will forgive you, okay? What this is talking about, though, is that you can't go out just talking bad and slandering folks. And your neighbor is anybody. You can't just do folk any kind of way just because you can do it. You know, and that's from the highest office in the land to the lowest office in the land. That's every one of us. You cannot mistreat people just because that's the way you roll. You know, and some of us excuse our behavior. Well, you know, that's just the way I am. That's right. That's fine. That's the way you are. And God said, I got something for you, too, because I'm going to show you that I am the I am that I am. Amen. That was Proverbs. That was my foundational scripture. Then Psalms 15:1-3. Now, let me give you some Proverbs specific to how we as Christians should treat other people, saved or unsaved. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Abhors means to he hates. Dishonest scales mean you have to be honest in your dealings with people, in your engagement. And particularly this is around business type stuff. You don't take advantage of folks just because you can. Amen. Good example. We all can relate to this. Up until about 2-3 years ago, people, when we had emergencies and natural disasters that hit our area or lights and power go off for a few days, people that sold generators, generator was $250 on Monday. It snowed Tuesday. You can't get out. So now the generator's $500. Same generator. When I walked in there Monday, it was $250. You know, gas goes up, food goes up. People jack up their business owners sometimes have jacked up their prices because why? They know you need that stuff. They know we need it. And we gonna pay whatever we have to pay. But that's not fair. That's not right. Because see, that 20 extra dollars, that 100 extra dollars I'm giving you might be the difference in buying some medicine. Might be the difference in having some food. You know, so God says, do not be dishonest in your dealings with people. That's why he says he hates a dishonest scale, but accurate weights are his delight. Proverbs 17:13. If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. All right, I shared that one with you before. That was in another one too, but it's same thing applies. You cannot pay back evil for good. Proverbs 17:15. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord hates them both. If people are doing wrong and you don't call it wrong, God hates that. And people who are innocent, if you call that wrong, God hates that. So in other words, you let the guilty go free, but the innocent you blame, or that you lower the book on them, or that you know you call them out and say that what they're doing is wrong. God says don't do that. When people are innocent, set them free, judgmental wise too. And I'm not just talking about in court of law. When people are not guilty of stuff, don't falsely accuse them of being guilty of something they did. And when people do wrong, say it's wrong. Amen. Just say it's wrong. It may not be in your authority to do anything about it. You may not be the one who decides what the punishment may be, but don't call wrong right. And don't call right wrong. Especially just because that's the way of the world these days. Folk are so mixed up and so confused, and it's all from the devil. And the sad thing is that most people accept that. Most people in this world today, especially in this country, we go along with calling what God says is right wrong and what God says is wrong right. Let me keep going. Don't treat people like that. Proverbs 18:5. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the innocent of justice. Now, this is, in fact, talking about, you know, in a court system. You know, sometimes we get called for jury duty. Sometimes we may be a witness. We may have to go be a witness for something, some situation we've been a witness to or somebody. So in other words, if you are asked to tell the truth, tell the truth. $100, $500, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 shouldn't be worth your integrity. Shouldn't be worth your Christian walk. Shouldn't be worth representing Christ correctly. Because God says that if you do that, then he is going to judge you harshly for doing that. Just be truthful and don't falsely accuse and falsely blame people. And don't go along with folks that want you to do that. Look, man, I know you know that I'm the one, you know, I hit that car. But look, when they ask you, just say you don't know nothing about it. Now, if they don't ask me, I won't say nothing. But if they ask me, I'm going to tell the truth. Amen. Yeah, because if no other reason, if it was my car and you were the witness, I want you to tell the truth. Amen. 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 How we should treat people. Still talking about walking in wisdom and how we should treat other people. Let's go to Proverbs 19 and 17. Proverbs 19:17. Says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Amen. He who is kind and lends to the poor, the Lord will reward him, and it's like lending unto the Lord. So in other words, when we have an opportunity to bless somebody, be prayerful, be thoughtful, but let's not have hardened hearts. Let's not always let, you know, because here's human nature again. I'm guilty too, guilty before everybody else. Sometimes we look at people and make a decision on whether or not we should do something for them by how they look. You know, you see those people you're driving, you come off the interstate and they're down there. You know, or you see them, they come up to you in Walmart parking lot, and they come to you at the gas station. Julia and I were in Ronica Mount about 2 weeks ago. Man walked up to me first day. Look, man, I don't need no money. I just need you to put 2 or 3 gallons of gas in my car. I failed that test, I want y'all to know. I failed that test that day. I'm not proud of it, but I failed that test because it seemed too much like a scam. But the Lord says, with holy and godly discretion, if you decide to help somebody who says they're in need, it's the same as doing it to the Lord. And he will reward you for what you've done. I say this quite often. You've heard me say it at Ronald Sam. My wife knows I say it. And she just says, yeah, I know you did. Because I said, well, you know, I saw this man today and I gave. She said, I know you did. Even if they're lying, if you choose to do it for the right reason. Amen. You do it because the person said they needed help. And you want it to represent the Lord and the God. See, because if God has blessed me to have $25, $30 in my pocket and all they ask for is 2 or 3, what does it hurt me to give them 2 or 3? I ain't lost nothing. Amen. And regardless of whether they're telling me the truth or not, I did it for the right reason. God says he's going to still reward me for being willing to help someone who said that they were in need. And then more importantly, these other kind of outreach ministries that Roanoke Sam and many other churches do. You know, when we send money to foreign missions and all that, God counts that to our individual account as well as our church account. Why? Because we see a need. We can't go there, or we're not going there, but we can send money and try to support those who do go. Why? So somebody can have clean water. So somebody can have food, clean food. So somebody can have a shelter. So somebody can get some medical attention. So when we do those kinds of things, according to Proverbs 19 and 17, he who is kind and lends to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward him for what he has done. Ronald Sam has been very blessed for years because of the generosity of we as a church group over the years, and we as believers and followers of Jesus, our generosity, Lord, has shown us all kinds of uncommon favor again and again and again. I'm coming to a close. Finally, let's talk about the third final category. Let's just talk about for a few minutes how what our general Christian conduct should be. This is still talking about walking in wisdom. When I say walking in wisdom, I'm talking about living day by day by wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Divine wisdom. So let's talk about this final category, our general Christian conduct. Let me give for you as a foundational scripture for this, Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Since we are now followers of Christ, we've made a public declaration that we are followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. Set our hearts. Have a desire. I should desire to live like a Christian. We're not going to always make it, but that's why he says, set your heart. But you should have a determination. Your Christianity shouldn't be something you change every day like you change a pair of shoes. It really shouldn't be that I can just put it on and take it off when I get ready, depending on what the situation is. See, last night I'm in the club and I'm getting down. This morning I'm oh Lord, glory to your name. No, it shouldn't be like that. And it's not, listen now, I'm not being a hypocrite. It's not to say you can't be a Christian in a club. Because you may be in there because somebody's in that club, you want to go in there and get out. Or somebody may, but if you're going to be in the club, be a Christian in the club. You know, depending on what your reason is for being in there, still be a Christian in the club. Don't be whoever you think you need to be to get along in the club. Be a Christian in the club. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm saying now. So if we really are who we say we are, it shouldn't be easy for us to just kind of fit in where we are at the moment. No, I should be Christ-like in all situations. I certainly should have that desire and should want to be Christ-like in all situations. So let me give you a few proverbs to talk about general Christian conduct. Proverbs 16 and 17. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. In other words, you do your best to avoid unnecessary sin in your life. You do your best to avoid being in sin in your life. Y'all have heard me say it before, and y'all, some of y'all have the same testimony. There are some shows that come on TV that I like, well, I have liked to watch. But I've decided there's some stuff I can't watch no more. Because it conflicts with me in my soul about who I say I am as a Christian. I love the show. I love the actors. I love what's going on. But Brother Jesse, it's a conflict. And if I'm sitting there watching it, I may be enjoying it. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit's saying, you shouldn't be watching this. And I'm saying, Lord, you know what? You're right. So let me turn away. Matter of fact, now I've gotten so most of them, when I see them, I don't even go to the channel today. I just had to put that down. Now, you got to decide for you. But what I'm saying is that's how sensitive we should be to the Holy Spirit. And that's what this proverb is saying, 16 and 17. The highway of the upright avoids evil. You do what you can to not be in sin against God. And the person that guards his way guards his life. Your life could be in danger by consistently walking in an evil path. Amen. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride will bring you down. Be humble. Nothing in the world wrong with everybody in the world telling you you are good at what you do. That's fine. You just say thank you and I give God the glory. It's not me. It's that the Lord has blessed me. It's that the Lord is using me. I appreciate it, sister. Yeah, I like when folk tell me that I preach okay, or I preach well. I like that. But I know two things. Number one, whatever good it was, it won't me, it's the Lord. And number two, I know that I can name 10,000 folk that can preach better than me. I know that. There's three or four of them sitting behind me right now. I put these ladies up against a whole bunch of preachers. So don't get hung up on being prideful. Remember, be humble. The Lord will elevate you. He'll elevate you. He'll make sure that folk know who you are and make sure you get accolades, but just always give him the glory. Proverbs 16 and 22. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it. Listen, but folly brings punishment to fools. What is understanding? Knowing what's right and doing what's right. That's a fountain of life, success for those who have it. But folly, what is folly? Foolishness, foolish thinking, foolish talking, foolish acting. That will bring, folly brings punishment to fools. Proverbs 17, 24, we're still talking about walking in wisdom. And we're talking specifically now around the general conduct of general Christian conduct. Proverbs 17, 24, a discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eye wanders to the end of the earth. Can't be double-minded. Can't be double-minded. And we all are, and I am a lot, but you can't be double-minded. You got to have a singular focus on wanting to follow the Lord. If you know what's right, do what's right. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 18, verse 3, the B part. Shame comes with disgrace. Not only are you disgraced, there's shame behind it. Now, you could be sitting or thinking, you know, well, that ain't no big deal. I can get past that. Not always. There's some kind of shame you can't get past. There's some kind of disgrace. I'm not saying you can't get past it in that people won't allow you to move on or you can't move on yourself, but it could be in such a way that it damages you to the point that you can never get back to where you were. And that even applies sometimes to Christians. Amen. Especially to Christians. Especially to Christians. So we have to be careful that we try our best to do what we know is right, because we don't want to be a disgrace to the Lord and a disgrace to our families and friends. Proverbs 19 and 16, he who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous of his ways will die. He who obeys instructions, what instructions? God's instructions. You guard your life. But he who is contemptuous, that's he who does not care. That's he who is disobedient. He who is hard-headed and hard-hearted, you'll die. You're going to die. We're going to all die one day, but you may die a little sooner. And you may die a little more painful. And you may die in disgrace for being willfully disobedient to what you know the Lord says to do. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, discipline your daughter, discipline your child, for in that there is hope. If you don't discipline your child, you are a willing party to your child's death. Amen now. Some of us don't believe in disciplining children anymore. And the reason why we don't is because we think, well, first of all, we bought into this new age thinking that, you know, it's wrong to spank your child. Well, first of all, discipline don't have to be spanking. It doesn't have to be spanking. Take things away. Take privileges away. Tell them no sometimes. But if you got the kind of strong-willed child that no is not enough and taking privileges and things is not enough, every once in a while, yeah, you might need to tap that hind part. You're not trying to kill them. In fact, the Bible says the rod won't kill them. Now, if you're not being abused, see, the world has made most of us buy into any kind of corporal punishment is abusive. It is not. It's not. But it depends on how you apply it. And I believe that should be your last resort. But if it's necessary, then you do it. Because here's the thing. If you don't discipline them in the home, when they get outside your home, the world's going to show discipline. The world's not going to tolerate that mess that you tolerate from them. Amen. God knows you better discipline while they're home, whatever way. It says to 19 and 18, discipline your child, for there is hope in that. But if you don't, you're going to be a willing party to your child's death. Let me move on, give you this last one. This is more positive. This is a positive spin on the same verse. Proverbs 22 and 6. Y'all know this one. Train up a child in the way that the child should go. And when the child is old, they won't depart from it. That doesn't mean they won't ever step out of boundaries. That's not what it means. It means that because you raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord while they were in your house, that's going to always be there. It may take them a while. Talking to myself right now. It may take them a while, but they're coming back. They're coming back because it's in them. And it's not just what you put in them. See, that's why you bring them to Sunday school. That's why you bring them to church. So they can get around some other godly folk. See, because my daughter may not listen to anything I say. Amen. But she'll go right there and sit with Miss Dozing. Miss Dozing can tell her anything she wants to do, and she'll do it because it's Miss Dozing. Amen. That's how it is with all our children. So the thing is, keep them around folk. You do what's right in your house, but you keep them around other folk who know the Lord, praying for them, going to tell them, no, you wrong. You don't talk to your mama that way. No, you wrong. Your dad and your mama don't have to give you everything you want. But then when they do good, say, baby, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. You make us all. You just like my own child. Come here and let me give you this $15. To God be the glory. Amen. Train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. It's in them. And it's not going to let them go but so far. God has put a hedge of protection around them because you've been faithful in trying to raise them right. I end this message by reminding all of us that Jehovah God gave us these proverbs of wisdom because he wanted us to know what's right. He instructed Solomon to share these proverbs with all humanity. And God expects us, the followers of Jesus Christ, to read these proverbs, to learn from them, and to live our lives walking in wisdom. We always end, or I try to, by saying that Jesus Christ is our example, and he is. He's our example of walking in wisdom. Because you got to remember now, Jesus was a human boy too. Jesus was a human teenager too. Jesus was a human young man, single man too. And Jesus, according to the Bible, I'm not making it up, read it for yourself. Bible says in Hebrew, Jesus was tempted in all ways just like we are. And I don't know about the really showing up Holy Ghost folk, but when the Bible says always, I believe always is what it means. and yet he was without sin. We can't be perfect, but we can be perfected by putting our confidence and trust in him. Because where my flesh is weak, that's where he shows his strength. Amen. So he is our example. See, because when Jesus said, I'm going to be about doing my Father's business, he was walking in wisdom. Amen. Amen. When Jesus told folks that he said that whatever it was that he did and said, he did what it was that his Father directed him to do, he was walking in wisdom. Amen. Amen. When Jesus said that it's the sick that need a doctor, not those who are well, he was walking in wisdom. Our Bible study, Sunday school lesson this morning about Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was a sinner because he had been cheating people. But then he met Jesus, and it turned his life around. It turned his life around. Amen. Amen. So Jesus walked in wisdom every day of his life, and he was walking in wisdom when he went to that cross. Amen. Because he knew that if he did not go to that cross, our souls would not have been saved. So Jesus went up on Calvary's hill, and he let him nail him to that cross, and he let him pierce him in his side. And even in wisdom from the cross, he looked down at all of us and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gave up his life, and then he let him put him in a borrowed tomb. Bible says he stayed there for 3 days, but early on that Sunday morning, the Bible says Jesus got up, and he got up with all power, all authority, all knowledge in his hands. That's why he could then turn around and make Solomon the wisest man in the world, because he has all knowledge. Told Solomon to write these proverbs so in 2019 you and I could be sitting in this sanctuary and learn about him through these proverbs. Learn how we can walk in wisdom. Learn how we can live right. Learn how we can walk right. Learn how we can talk right. Learn how we can love each other. And know that we can do it. Not through our own power, but through our faith and confidence in him. Amen. We can walk in wisdom. We can do it. We can do it. Because we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us from day to day. I can have a bad day. You can have a bad day. Gonna have some. But God already forgave me for that. What he told me is to be blameless. He didn't say be perfect. He said, be blameless. What does that mean? That means remind myself that I need to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me be more like you. God said, son, I forgive you. Daughter, I forgive you. Come on, put you back on the right path. And as far as you and I are concerned, whatever that was, it didn't even happen. See, that's what I love about God. Amen. See, y'all hold me accountable for my mess. Y'all remind me 20 years from now what I did when I was 20 years old. Jesus said, I forgot it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, what are you talking about? That never happened. Yes, it did, Lord. I was right there. Yeah, and seeing the difference in you and him is he asked for forgiveness. You didn't. That's why he's coming with me and you ain't. Amen. Amen. Walk in wisdom. Do your best according to what God says. Amen. Give God some glory. Amen. We're going to get out of here.